The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And this is the interview that I've been waiting on as well. I'm going to speak with the continued presence of the president of the National Parent Teacher Association, President Walter Stewart. President, good morning to you, sir, and welcome back to Freedom.
Good morning, and we are on NPTA Speaks. Good to be back here again. Second week of the school term.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, already.
How was the first week, boy?
How was this first week, sir? mixed, really. Good and bad. Let me just say that the first week started out with good news in that most of our schools were up and running. Most of our schools were opened, ready for business. But of course, like in every system, there are going to be issues and challenges, situations and problems that we have to confront head on and deal with an early resolve. So of the 835 schools that were opened, there were a few of them that had some issues. We're looking at Cedar Secondary. There was an issue at Toko Secondary, which has now been resolved. There were issues at Point 14 East and West Secondary, and a few other schools. Of major concern as well, DV, is the lack of chairs at the Southeast Port of Spain Secondary
School.
Yes,
that was crucial. That was crucial.
Yeah, and we are looking at that. We are speaking with the ministry to ensure that the end of this week latest, they can resolve that situation at the Southeast Secondary School. My information is that they are renting chairs. The procurement process is taking place as we speak. And again, as I say, we're hoping that by the end of this week, Southeast Port of Spain could come off the rotation. And of course, all forms should be up and running early third week, next week, Monday.
So this rotation that we speak about, this is Southeast Port of Spain moving on a shift basis.
Yes, certainly.
So some students coming at different times because of the shortage of furniture.
Yeah.
Well, I understand that there have been a shift in the sand with respects to the NPTA and their position with how they feel about fire-armed officers within the premises of schools.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's the latest
early
on that?
In the process, we were adamant, we were defiant. No police officers armed in our schools. So that they have to be non-lethal. We had further discussions with DCP Operations then. Well, he is now DCP Admin. But DCP Operations Benjamin. And he was letting us know, besides, of course, tool of trade, the firearm, there might be untoward situations taking place in our schools, inside and or outside of the school. And if his men, his officers, are not armed, there's no time really to go and look or get or acquire firearm. So that in terms of rapid response, there is need in certain designated schools, and this was agreed to as well with the Ministry of Education, in designated schools, we are going to be having armed police officers in those particular schools.
All right, so you're definitely in when it comes supporting the fact of armed police officers within schools.
Yes.
This morning, yesterday, an incident arose on the social media, much to the dismay of the another situation that came up from Arima North Secondary School last week, Wednesday, I think it was, or Thursday, thereabouts, where a police officer was now locked into a classroom. Have you all been able to get, as an NPTA, any information in that? I've gotten two reports. One, the officer was asleep, which is a concern for me.
Right, certainly.
Because if you fell asleep on the job.
Oh, no.
With a firearm at your side.
Unacceptable. Yeah.
That. Mm-hmm. And one daily is reported of saying such. Yeah. I am still awaiting confirmation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what is the NPTA's position on this child being suspended for locking that police officer in the classroom?
Well, our investigations are still ongoing. I'm speaking with the regional president of the Karani, because that's in the Karani Education District. We call it region. And we are also speaking with the PTA president, because that's an affiliated school with a bona fide PTA executive. So we are speaking with them with regards to getting the full investigations. But in any event, it is not the remit of any child to lock any police officer in any room. I mean, that is disrespectful to the highest. And we are not going to condone our students. Listen, when I was a boy and I saw a police officer, if he was on the left side, I'm crossing to the right side. There was so much trepidation within me as a young lad with regards to seeing a police officer, how are we coming into this now where you are actually almost facing off with the police officer, locking him into a room?
Yes, boy.
Disrespectful?
It is, it is. The consensus came from a morning poll question this morning where 25% of our callers said no, they were not satisfied with what was done with the student, and 75% saying yes, they were good. They were good with it.
Yeah.
Suspend him. We could even go further as to expel. Would expulsion be something the PTA would support for this particular situation?
Listen, when we look at punitive action, especially for our students, now they are minors and subject to making errors, we want to balance, Davy, at all times, the punitive with the restorative. Because certainly, whilst this student would have done this infraction, which of course, as I said, is unacceptable and totally disrespectful, there is still hope for that child. And by expelling the child, you're almost shutting the door on the child's educational academic life, certainly. So we would want to, and again, this all boils back down, as I've been trumpeting before, to the formative years of the child's life. We have to get into the minds of these children when they are, you know, 5, 6, 7, their formative years. Be able to inculcate the values that are necessary to mitigate the situation and these circumstances.
All right, so we had a smooth transition with in the recorded history of this country,
yes,
where so many schools will be able to reopen their doors,
yes,
in a timely manner with a lot of repair work done,
right,
a lot of remedial works completed,
mm-hmm,
in some instances. This is great news. Yeah. This is really historic
yeah,
in this, mm-hmm, country. And you being at the helm for, sure, some time involved, yeah, in PTA would have known this.
Mm-hmm.
What about the situation that's frustrating parents in terms of transfers and other things that are happening? What is happening there? The backlog is still there? What, yeah, does the PTA understand?
Well, my information is that the backlog should have been cleared last Friday because the CEO, a high office official at the ministry, is the person charged with signing off these transfers. And from my information, most, if not all, these transfers have been signed off, duly signed off by the CEO and sent to the respective district offices.
How unfortunate it is, because this gentleman and the team, one, the team works on shift, is it? Part-time. So that's Tuesday, Thursdays.
They come in. Yeah.
They come in, mm-hmm, and we don't, yeah, know if it's whole day, if it's a few hours.
Right. Yeah.
Then they leave, yeah, and they go on to back to the secular job. And then they, yeah, have to handle the entire Trinidad,
yeah,
and Tobago.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah,
a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. So as far as the NPTA understands, it, right, would have been
cleared
most of it.
Let me tell you that in Tobago, it is slightly different. Well, of course, Tobago is a smaller community as well. But there's a designated team, and they sat frequently during the July-August vacation in order to ensure that all transfers were adequately dealt with and into their new school, well, let me say the transfer school, on September 8th.
So we did have some challenges here.
Yes, certainly.
Back home in Trinidad and Tobago with parents anxious,
yeah,
waiting with a sense of anxiety. Now, as it relates to the NPTA and, well, the transfers are going through,
yeah,
what are some of the misconceptions that parents must understand when it comes to transfers with Form 1s?
Right, in particular. And it's really one about allocation of space, because you would understand that schools are allocated a certain number. In some schools, there are about 35 students in one form, and there are 4 Form 1s. So if there's no space in the school, it makes it difficult now to be able to put a transfer student from one school to the next, because you're already up to your max in terms of the capacity. And of course, you want to ensure that all students are given proper environment, proper space, etc., in the classroom. So that has to be the major consideration in dealing with transfers.
And this move with principal to principal being taken away in terms of being able to articulate whether or not they want to accept a student or not, how does that, when the NPTA looks at it now,
yeah,
was this a prudent move on government? Was this a good move? Because we know in the past, the transfers was done. Principals, you go, you talk to, yeah, the principal see the viability in the student, yeah, maybe the parents and the involvement, and, right, they can accept or deny,
yeah,
a student here or there, yeah, with, yeah, the backing of the ministry. But, yeah, this responsibility was moved from them,
yeah,
mm-hmm, and parents are still seeking it. So how is the NPTA feeling about seeing this roll out, seeing the whether it was smooth or, yeah, not?
Well, you see, we have to look at equity as well, because, you know, dealing with a principal, the principal could have his or her favorites. There could be nepotism involved there as well. So there has to be an objectivity when you are looking at these transfers, so that I'm not sure what the rationale was for removing it out of the purview of the principal
and the district officer.
Exactly. Now, but there certainly might have been something untoward why the principal is no longer, let me use the word, in charge, as it were, of these transfers. But the bottom line is, whatever process is being used, we want to make sure it's equitable, it's above board, and it's transparent. That would be our concern.
Sorry. Doing a post-mortem on the entire rollout process, especially under this new administration, would this be something that the NPTA would be vocal against or for in the next installment for, let's say, 2026, 2027?
Certainly, we want to be able to understand the entire process from the time the parent makes the transfer, giving, of course, cogent reason or reasons for the transfer, and what is the next process after, and ensuring, more importantly, that once the transfer has been approved, that within the fourth week of the vacation, parents are aware if the transfer is yay or nay, so they can make the material, you know,
issues. To get the things sorted out.
Certainly.
So how practical was it for a transfer to be done? We're looking at the school's orientation in early July.
Right.
And at that orientation, you would have filled out the transfer form, requesting the transfer. However, you were told on the 18th of August, which is over a month away and very close to the completion of the job application, whether you get through or not. So you couldn't make no preparations as the booklets or anything like that. And then on the 18th, you have the entire country.
Yeah.
So everybody wouldn't get a call. And then there are persons who did not get it. So persons who did not receive any correspondence from the ministry, what would have been the best advice or what was needed to be done by that parent for the school and the child?
To go to the education district office, and or at the very worst, even go to the Ministry of Education head office on St. Vincent Street. What is going on? Because there'll be the anxiety, parent and student and child, to know what is the next step.
So for those who were unable to get that, the child have to go to the school that was
assigned.
Placed.
Yeah, exactly. The original school assigned. Because again, education, every child deserves an education.
And I mean, as the NPTA, what advice and caution to parents who do not get their children in these education systems? I know there's some legality to it there.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you aware? Because,
yeah, I'm aware that, you know, if your child is not in a school, especially within the third week of the school academic year, that it could be now a legal matter. Because as I said, each child deserves an education. And therefore, the government should be very strong on that. And we fully endorse that as well. You have to get your children into a learning institution.
One texter is saying, Davy, I want to ask, does that child want an education? As the minister stressed on, you can't see those type of children isn't interested in his studies. Otherwise, they would have never did what they did. So this has to go back to the school in
pre-sale
with the student.
Right.
When students behave like this, is it that they're displaying an attitude that they're not interested in academics? What can be done on that?
Listen, let me get biblical. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So that children, by their very nature, are prone to mischief, prone to being miserable, etc. And it might have just been a prank. Probably it might not have been the intention of the student to lock the door per se, but just at least let the officer know, you know, we're just pulling the door on you, kind of thing. So it's really, in my humble view, it might have been a prank, but it is not acceptable in terms of dealing with law enforcement because of the due respect and regard that we should have for law enforcement officers.
When we look at that student, would there be investigations to find out if that student in particular was sent on suspension is an avid troublemaker in the school?
Certainly, they will have a history, and we should certainly look and see. And again, the genesis, the root cause, what is causing this child to react like that? You know what I'm saying? Why didn't you just bypass this and do something more constructive? So there has to be an investigation as to the root cause, family history, family background, frustration, trauma. What is causing this?
Hello, good morning.
Morning, Navy.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to your guests.
Morning, sir.
Barring the problems that children have at home, right? Because children have a lot of... Would you support the banning of social media in all schools across the board while the child is in school? Because a lot of problems these children pick up on social media. You have morons all over the place showing people of school age taking people luggage in the airport and walking in people home in the UK, you know, and just for views. So would you support a complete ban on social media in the school? Maybe children leave their cell phones at home, or they search and the phone is seized by the security guard. When they leave in, they collect it. Would you support that? I'll listen up there.
All right. But I mean, I don't know about the taking the child's cell phone.
Right.
But respond. Yeah.
Listen, the cell phone is now ubiquitous. I mean, everybody has a cell phone, literally. And the cell phone is being used for good and for bad. I have my personal cell phone, and this has done so much for me in my personal life, my spiritual life, my academic life. I mean, name it. There is so much that you can garner from the use of a cell phone. And it is for us as parents, as educators, to be able to inculcate to our students, to our children, that this cell phone has value. And you can only be used, you should only use the cell phone to gain additional value. Be responsible in the use of your cell phone. So it is really an instrument that serves for good and for bad. Let us forget the bad out of social media and use it for good. I have been able to gather smart information via social media on my cell phone.
Interesting. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, caller.
Hi, morning. To your guest and to Turner.
Morning.
I just have a simple question. It deals with the school books at primary school level and also the secondary school level. Why is it that the each principal has that authority to determine what school books are to be used? And that creates a problem for parents, who has children in different schools, etc. Why it is that the curriculum directors, etc., the ministry do not determine the appropriate textbooks for school children in Trinidad and Tobago? Trinidad, it's not so diverse to say that, hey, we have to have a different textbook in each school or whatever. The current situation puts parents on extreme financial stress. And this should be dealt with. I would like to listen to your response of this.
That's a very good point. What I could say of that is, especially this year, there was a directive from head office, the Ministry of Education, that there should be no change in the book list. In other words, if your child is in Form 3, was in Form 3 of last year, the same book list would apply to the child going into Form 3 this year. Because, you know, Debbie, admittedly, you can change one word, one line, in a book.
Or a paragraph.
Exactly, and it now becomes a new edition. And, of course, we're required. In other words, your sibling might have used that same book last year. One paragraph has changed, one line has changed, and the new sibling has to buy a new book. Thankfully, this year, we did not have that problem. But there needs to be a coming together of the powers that be in order to ensure that there's streamlining of our school book system. But the other point is as well, we work on cultures. And the culture in, let's say, Standard 4 in a school in Charlottesville might be slightly different to the culture of a child in Standard 4 in Blanchichaise, for example. So that the book that the principal is allowed to choose would be applicable to your particular culture, your particular environment in a particular area. It does not mean, therefore, that the basic information in the school does not align with the curriculum, because we are all curriculum-based and we are all using the same curriculum. So that if we can bring all the players, let me use the word players, together, in one space, look at the books that are assigned to the schools in general and align the book structure to the particular schools accordingly.
As we continue our discussion here this morning, one texter is asking me to find out from the president, what is the NPTA's stance on police rollout this term as opposed to previous terms? Now, they are now going on to the type. Okay, I don't know if you all spoke about it before, but can you all recap? If not, can you share some insight? And so this texter did not hear the thoughts of the NPTA in terms of how you all feel about police officers. So
and
once again, could you just...
Sure. And I've said this before, and for the benefit of the texter, we are in full support of the police in schools, again, designated schools. Why? Two basic principles. The reports out of head office, the Ministry of Education says over 3 years, 22 to 25, there were 21,000 suspensions. Cursory maths tells you that is going to be about 180 suspensions per week.
Yeah, boy.
Over a 39 instructional week academic year. This is totally unacceptable. How could you be suspending students, that number of students per week on an average? One, the cell phone again has indicated to us that something is all right, something is taking place in our schools when we see the number and frequency of infractions taking place in our schools. Almost every day, on average, there were, especially over the last academic year, a number of school fights, school indiscipline, school violence, school bullying taking place in front of our very eyes. We could not stand in all good conscience and continue to view this and fold our arms and say, que sera, sera. As a responsible organization, therefore, we endorsed tough times deserve tough measures. And whilst we agree that this has to be a temporary measure, it is meant to be a deterrent to what is taking place in our schools, so that we endorse the fact that, listen, this is another layer of assisting to bring some peace and sanity and tranquility in our schools. And based upon that, we endorse the presence of police officers. We regret we have to go this way, but we don't want to see a child before our eyes on the ground dead because of the fights that we are seeing here taking place. As I said before, colloquially, is man-to-man fighting now. It is more than just a teenager, and of course involving our girls as well.
Mm. Two things come to mind. One, just last week, in the first rollout of school at El Dorado...
East, I think it was.
East, yeah. As Eldo Blue.
Right.
A parent slapped a student.
Yeah.
What is the NPTA's position and thoughts on parents retaliating against children who, you know, assault their children?
Yeah. And listen, again, we denounce, we have a zero tolerance when it comes to that. It should not be the remit of any parent to take the justice system into his or her hands and attack, slap a student. It is not about that. There are rules and regulations, and we want our parents to be guided by the rules and regulations and let justice system prevail in dealing with, if your child, God forbid, is involved in an infraction with another student, let the system that the school has, based upon the National School Code of Conduct, let that system prevail in all circumstances.
But as you a will, parent, it's difficult.
I know it is. I know it is. But of course, you want to ensure that if you do otherwise, you could be charged. That would be a legal matter now. Would you want that? Would you want to go and face the courts for your action?
For your outburst.
Yeah.
So that is, I mean, I'm happy. I mean, we can't condone it. Why we may certainly understand,
yeah,
as a father, you know, we cannot,
yeah,
in good conscience and correct, sound mind,
yeah,
sit here and advocate for such. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, blessings to the panel.
Morning.
Big man thing. Why I tell me the school is not cell phone for? Long time we never had cell phone. We did well. Leave your cell phone at home. No cell phone in school. Simple thing like that. And David, the officer who was shot and killed. So is he a regular or SRB?
Say again, the officer?
Yes, but who was shot and killed last week?
The other, well, right. Well, it went down accidentally based on initial reports.
Yeah.
The officer's gun that was discharged, that officer is now facing a manslaughter charge.
Yes. Because he was playing the fool with the firearm.
Well, in the public so far, when the official report is made public, then we'll be... So far, we're getting conflicting stories. Because I will be very honest, initially on that story, when it first dropped on the socials, it said the officer committed suicide.
One more thing, maybe.
What?
One more thing.
We found out.
We had lobby for officers to be in school.
Say again?
We had lobby for officers to be in school because of the bullying and the fighting. So officers in school is not here. But we also lobby for fire... for officers in school, but now I think we better think fight. I think officers should not have fire, I might think, because the bad boy did press in school, go and show up, actually take away the fire from the officer. Hold it down.
All right, thanks very much. One texter is saying, let me hear what he has to say. I'll take this call. Hello, good morning. All right, why call me and then take the call? All right, you see why the UNC only get 10 days in office despite being a better government? When people like him tell us that it was only a boyish prank, it is time for them to pack up and leave. You don't be pulling, no. Okay, this person says, okay, so what he charges could be is unlawful restraint, kidnapping, disturbance of the peace in a school property, terroristic threat if the police felt threatened. The TTPS does not deal with things like this lightly and hope the principal wouldn't too.
Sure.
Hello, good morning.
Taking action.
Yeah, good morning. All right, 625-2257 and 627-3223. I also, in Florida, kids have to put their phone in a pouch with a lock before school, and at the end of the day, it is unlocked. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, good morning. I normally am in the habit of setting up very late most of the time due to how I used to work night period. I was offered to work in the day also, but I have years and years as a officer, a security official, firearm officer with Amalgamated. So it's something like it is in my blood and thing. So it has come like if I'm still working, but I'll keep myself busy because there's a lot of things that I am still learning and would like to do educational wise. So I just be up, always busy, but I just make sure I rest. Like I, not too long ago, got up about 2 or 3 hours ago and then. So I am here, and what I will tell you, you all have a pleasant day.
Thank you.
All right. Morning. I disagree with children not having cell phones, whether it's left at home or taken by the security, because the country at large only knows about the school fights and other school issues because of children doing the recording. No teacher going to pull out their cell phone and record a fight, especially when it happens off the school compound.
Totally.
Well,
I mean, the jury is out on that, really, with regards to the cell phone. But again, let me emphasize that if students are carrying their cell phones, it is really about responsible use of the cell phones and to add value to your educational life.
And then in these times we're living in, you know, you want to be able to communicate with your child.
Exactly.
If something is happening, to be able to reach your child. If there's an emergency, you don't have to go back to the security to lodge, figure out which one is yours and sign for it, your child. I mean, you have to teach your child to be responsible. And if the child is caught in the action of using the phone for nefarious also activities, then we deal with
child.
It accordingly.
But to
confiscate someone's personal property like that, I do subject myself to that. I do not agree with it, you know. But by and large, President Walter Stewart, you know, what is the general consensus of the NPTA as it relates to, you know, a recap as to the rollout as to this new school term and how things went down?
Yeah, well, as I said before, let me use the word smooth sailing so far. It has not been without its challenges, as expected. But trust me, in my communication with the Minister and the Ministry of Education, they are doing everything within their powers to ensure that if there are any eventualities, and there would be, that it will be dealt, those eventualities will be dealt with swiftly and decisively in the best interest, Davy, and the public of our nation's children. That's always on that.
All right. Hello, good morning.
Morning, David.
Good morning, sir.
Electricity went up, just came back.
All right. Back. Glad to know that.
To the gentleman, you all said you don't agree with confiscating cell phones in school. I think that's why I said when we took away corporal punishment in school, we were a third world, well, we were considered a third world developing country. The people who did that was a developed country. The same countries today where cell phones are concerned, when you reach the school, there is a specific key with a particular type of lock. You place your cell phone into that and you lock it. And you place your cell phone in a particular area. On your way out from school, you collect your cell phone and the lock. You pass it by a particular place, the lock falls. Just like how you know it now when you go and buy liquor, there's a particular key that you put a ring above the liquor that you have to take off. There's a particular lock like that on the keys of the phone. There's no involvement of any teacher, you know. You place your cell phone in a particular place, the school has, right? Right now in Florida, if you're under the age of 16, you're not allowed to have TikTok, WhatsApp, and Facebook, them kind of thing. The state is putting a ban on children with cell phones under a particular age. And we are now still considered a third world developing country, not looking at what the first world country is doing to avoid the problems that they encountered. We still talking that talk, baby. Come on. There's a reason for that. And they are developed countries. So why are we not agreeing that they are going on? We're not confiscating your phone, you know. But when you reach in school, there's a particular place to rest your phone. Why don't we try something of that?
Okay.
Enjoy listening.
Thank you very much, Baracharya. One texter is saying, good morning to you, Davey, and your guests. I think the student or students involved in locking the police officer in the classroom should be charged with the offense. Regardless of the reason the police officer was in the classroom at the time is irrelevant. Regardless of the reason the police was in the classroom at the time is irrelevant. That did not give the student or students the right authority to lock the person in the room. They say all is well that ends well. What if the officer began to experience a medical emergency? A fire occurred in the room and he was trapped. Someone gets attacked outside and dies. We need to send a strong message to our young persons. Not everything is a joke.
True. Truly.
Because if that officer started to panic, with heart palpitations,
just by being locked in the room,
claustrophobic.
Correct. That's right.
Or he catches fits and you do that.
Yeah.
And the officer passes away.
Yeah.
I mean,
so that's what I'm saying. The school did take decisive action, and of course, there might be other action that the school is willing to take, again, based upon further investigations. Mm-hmm. So we await the investigations
to see what happens.
Exactly.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Davey.
Good morning.
Good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
Davey, I don't usually conclude Baracharya, but I have to say that he just preceded my call. Because it's exactly what I was calling to say, right? While we were without cell phones when we were growing up, when they wanted to contact us in school, there was never any problem because the school have a telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And they have operators within the school who will be able to respond to your call and get to the student, whether the student is in class or on recess, right? So it is a simple fix. It is a simple fix. We cannot be doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, right? And whenever you try to implement a system, there is always a pushback. But the system that is being implemented now within the school is because there has been a recurrent problem that is becoming endemic in schools today where violence and bullying is concerned. So therefore, it is a system. These measures are to be implemented. We're supposed to support it. The cell phone, for me, is a non-issue because there are ways that you can deal with that. And exactly what Baracharya said, what I was going to say, leave your cell phone in a secured area, right? And it is identified so that when you return, when you leave in the school, you pick it up. On the issue of the parent who slapped the child, Davey, there's something they call threshold limit. You know what? There are no anti-bullying laws in Trinidad and Tobago currently. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Your child is being subjected to bullying in school. Your child is coming home with marks on his skin, and there is nothing being done to really curb the violence by students who are bullying your child. You will reach a point where you no longer can take that. You reach a threshold limit. And this is what the system is encouraging. So parents, while I do not concur, while I do not support it, David, you have to take every case on its own merit and ask ourselves, where has this parent reached a threshold limit? Was his child consistently being bullied? These are the things that we had to look at and not look at everything in a holistic way, but look at isolated cases and identify the core problem. Why a parent will really walk up to a student and slap him? Because I'm telling you, if it's my child being bullied and nothing is being done again, I will reach a threshold limit too. Have a good day, brother.
That's why we have the police in schools to be able to address these situations so that over time, based upon this layer, this additional layer of support to the existing discipline matrix in our schools, we are hoping that bullying, school violence, school indiscipline, infractions would not be eradicated. We don't want to be naive to say eradicated, but certainly mitigated to a large extent. So that students can now go to school and feel comfortable, feel safe, feel secured, and feel that they are in an area where it is conducive to learning and participating in the school life.
I will take another call quickly. Good morning. Hello? All right, that person will call me back. Good morning, Davey. The Ashja Sando girls, real disciplined kids. Phones go into a box on entering classroom. They call it the cell tower, and it's returned to kids at 2:30 p.m. Somebody says, people have to understand times have changed. It is no longer 1962. The practice of phones responsibility can start from home. Again, you have to adapt to change. Another one says, good morning, and to the gentleman there with you this morning. And this texter is also saying to you this morning, it's very hard to get, oh no, not that one. I think it's undeniable to unregulate, that unregulated internet usage has had a detrimental effect on our kids. Social media access to adult and extreme material, etc. But parents have these devices raising their children. Send them off to school with them. Don't monitor who is accessing their children via them, etc.
Yeah.
So it comes back down
parents
to parents.
Parents have a role to play. Yeah?
Parents have a role to play.
Exactly. Certainly.
Yes. Mr. Stewart, I want to thank you very much. Yeah. I look forward to NPTA Speaks next week Wednesday,
sure,
as we continue with the dialogue with the National Parent Teachers Association, President Walter Stewart, always ready and willing to be part of the program and to speak. Next week, we'll pick those topics. We'll get back. It's week two,
sure,
right? We would have concluded week two, and we would see if there are any more infractions, what the police presence is doing at the nation's schools, and how it is affecting our nation's youth. Mr. President, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you, my
pleasure.
And I
will see you guys next week as well.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.